The pasuk says, this means that if he enters servitude with his body intact, he has to leave with his body intact. But the Yasmin Yaakov says, this means that if he enters servitude alone, he must leave alone. What does it mean that if he enters servitude with his body intact, he has to leave with his body intact? Rava says, it means that he's not freed if the master knocks off one of his limbs. Abaye asked, that's where you learned from Loisaitse Ketseisu Avadim. We learned earlier in there a few days ago in the daf. But it says, based on this pasuk alone, we would think that he doesn't go out like a non-Jewish slave who goes out free with if his limb is knocked off. Maybe we'd say he's paid the value of the limb and then goes out free. And that way he's different than a non-Jewish slave who doesn't get paid for it. He just goes out free. You know, the pasuk therefore teaches that he does not go out free at all based on the injury of the limb. And what does it mean that if he enters servitude alone, he has to leave alone? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, this means that if he had a wife and children before he became a slave, his master is allowed to give him a non-Jewish maid servant to marry. If he came into servitude single, he may not be given such a wife. Bryce says, if an eved was purchased for a mona and his value then increased to 2 mona, how do we know that for purposes of growing kesef, we use the original purchase price? Mercy, we learn from the pasuk of mikesef biknasa, meaning we use the purchase price. If he was purchased for 2 mona and the value then decreased to 1 mona, how do we know that for the purposes of growing kesef, we use the lower decreased value? We learn that from the pasuk of Mercy. We learn that from the pasuk of kefishana, which suggests that we look at his current value. We would think that this only applies to a yid who was sold to a goy, since the goy is put at a disadvantage regarding the halacha of a relative, that a relative may redeem the yid. Maybe he's also put it at a disadvantage regarding these circumstances as well. How do we know that the halachas in these circumstances apply to a yid sold to a yid as well? Mar said, we learned this from Gzeir Shava on the word Sochir. One of the rabbanim asked Abaye, why do we dash in this psukim as a kula for the eved ivri? Maybe we should dash in as the chumra for an eved ivri that he has to pay the higher growing kesef. So Abaye said, we find that the Torah was lenient with the eved ivri in other areas, so it must be that the Torah was makel over here as well. We find this in a braisa which teaches that one has to give food and drink and bedding to the eved ivri of equal quality to that the master himself has. Maybe the Torah is only makel with the eved ivri matters of physical comforts, but with regard to redemption, maybe the Torah is machmer. The reason to say so would be based on a braisa in which Rabbi Yosi son of Rechanina says, the cause of someone becoming poor to the point of having to sell himself is the aver of dealing with the produce of Shemitah. So we see it's based on an aver. Maybe that's where we're machmer with him. So Abaye said, the Torah tells us that even if the person is forced to sell himself to the avodah zarah, there's an obligation to redeem him. We see that the Torah has pity on the avod ivri, and therefore must be that the psukim teach to allow him to use a lower valuation for purposes of growing kesef. Fact, maybe there's an obligation of redemption so that he not assimilate with the goyim. However, regarding redemption payment, we are machmer based on the reason of the Rabbi son of Chanina. Zok and for the Gemara, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak said, the reason we're making for the Eved Ivri is based on the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk of Mikesef Beknasa says, Im Oid Rabbis Bashonim, if there are a lot left to the years. And the Pasuk of Fishonim says, Im Me'at Nishar Bashonim, if there's a small amount left to the years. Now, are there years that are longer and years that are shorter? Of course not. Rather, the Pasuk means that if the value became a lot, we are to look at the purchase price. And if the value became smaller, we look to the current value. In fact, Rabbi Pasukim are simply saying, if there are many years left to his servitude, meaning that, let's say there are 4 years left, you pay for that proportionate amount of the purchase price. And if there are only a few years left, let's say there are only 2 years left, you pay for that amount of the remaining years. The psukim are simply giving examples of how the amount is calculated. The Gemara says, if that was what the psukim were teaching, the psukim should say, v'im me'at nishar shonim. Not if in what is bashonim, which is therefore it must be understood as referring to the increasing and decreasing value of the eved ivri. Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak has darshan these psukim in the way that they were meant to be understood when they were given at Sinai. The Gemara continues. If a yid is sold to a guy, may he partially be partially redeemed or not? Do we learn Xavier Shava on the word Giulasai from a field that just as a field cannot be partially redeemed, so too the Eved Ivri cannot be partially redeemed? Or maybe we say that the partial redemption is allowed when it's a leniency for him and not when it's a stringency for him. Sheisha said, just as we said earlier, that he's only sold for his stealing when the value is not more than the value of the stolen items, because he must be sold in total and not in part. Here too, we will say that he must be redeemed in total and not in part. Abaye said, if we allow partial redemption, it can lead to a leniency and it can lead to a stringency. Meaning, an example of leniency would be if the eved is purchased for 100 zuz and the master is then immediately given 50 zuz as partial redemption. If the partial redemption is effective, then even if his value then goes up to 200 zuz, since half was already redeemed, he only has to give another 100 zuz for full redemption. However, if the partial redemption is not effective, then he has to give another 150 zuz to achieve full redemption. Fact, remember, we have previously said the eved must only pay the lower of the purchase price or the current value. So why would he ever have to pay this increased value? Morris says the case must be where he was purchased for 200 zuz. His value then went down to 100 zuz, at which time he gave 50 zuz for partial redemption. His value then went back up to 200 zuz. In this case, if he had not given any money previously, he'd now have to give 200 zuz because the current price does not exceed the purchase price. And therefore, if the partial redemption is effective, it's a leniency because he only has to give another 100 zuzot in this case. Abaye continues, says an example of a leniency to a chumra would be where he was purchased for 200 zuzot and immediately gave 100 zuzot as a partial redemption, and his value then dropped to 100 zuzot. If the partial redemption is effective, he would still need to give another 50 zuzot to be fully redeemed. If the partial redemption was not effective, the original 100 that he gave will now serve as the full amount of his redemption. Murray continues and asks the following question. The halacha is, if a person sells his house in a walled city, he may redeem it for 1 year. After that time, if he doesn't redeem it, it forever remains the property of the buyer. May the house be partially redeemed or not? Do we learn exactly the word say from a field? And just like a field can't be partially redeemed, so too this house cannot be partially redeemed. Or maybe we say that partial redemption is only invalid where the Torah specifically says it's invalid. Otherwise, maybe it's valid. So Sheshes says we can learn from the drusha of Rav Shimon that the house can be redeemed with borrowed money, which is something that's not allowed for a sold field, and it also can be partially redeemed. In a brisa, Rav Shimon says the pasuk of Im Goyel Yigal. Goyel Yigal teaches that if a person made his field hegdish, in which case, if he does not redeem it before Yovel, it becomes the property of the Kahanim forever, so he may redeem it with borrowed money and may partially redeem it as well. The reason these things are allowed regarding the field, this field, not for a field that's sold regular, not to stomp to another person, is because the field that's sold will anyway come back to Met Yovel. Therefore, we're strictly regarding its redemption. However, the field that was made hegdish stands to be lost forever, and therefore we allow it to be redeemed even with borrowed funds. Even partially redeemed. Now, this same logic can be applied to a house in a walled city that was sold. Since it stands to be lost forever, we should allow it to be redeemed even with borrowed funds and even partially be redeemed. Fidekamo, another brisa clearly says that a house in a walled city that is sold may not be redeemed with borrowed money, may not be partially redeemed. But it says this second brisa follows the view of the Rabbanan, who don't darshan the reason for Pesukim, and therefore we don't say that since the Torah allows us by a field that was made hegdish, and since the same reason applies to a house in a walled city that was sold, we should allow the borrowed funds and partial redemption by the house as well. Whereas the earlier brisa follows of Shimon, who does darshan the reason for Pesukim, and therefore does apply similar logic to a place where the same reason should apply. Fidekamo, one brisa says a house sold in a walled city can be redeemed with borrowed money and can be partially redeemed. Another Bryce says it cannot be done in either of those ways. Mar says the first Bryce follows of Shimon, second Bryce follows of Rabbanon.